You'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me today to the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. If you're not familiar with the Scriptures, Numbers is at the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. And we're reading from the verse 28 to the last verse of the 10th chapter, verse 36. In the morning here we read it together, taking your time from me. And Numbers chapter 10 and verse 28. Let's read it. Thus were the journeys of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Rigel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kingdom. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee. For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee from thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Ending our lesson at verse 16, and God will stamp this lesson from his very own infallible book. Let us open our Bibles at the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, and we're looking at verse 35. And it came to pass that when the ark set forward, that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. The moment the ark moved, the whole of the tribes of Israel marched in their prearranged order. When the ark stopped, the whole nation was brought to a standstill. The priests who carried the ark had their eyes glued upon the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. When that pillar moved, the ark was carried forward by the priests. When the pillar rested, then the ark rested. But when it moved, Moses cried out, rise up, Lord, let thine enemies be scattered, and let them flee before thee. And when the ark rested, Moses cried, "Return unto thy rest and unto the many thousands of Israel." Now this text of mine can be studied in three ways. First of all, it is a cry, a war cry, of God's people in the church of all ages. Israel going through the wilderness is a picture of the church of Christ in all ages, traveling to its permanent abiding place. Moses, the leader of Israel, did not choose the place where they are rested. Neither did Aaron, the high priest, make choice of that place. Neither did the elders of Israel make choice of that place. Neither did the leaders of the 12 tribes, the princes of those tribes, neither did they choose the rest place of the ark. The nation of Israel as a whole did not choose that place. It was God and God alone who appointed the place where the ark set out on its journey, and the many places that it stopped during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It was the word of God from the lips of Moses that cried out, "Rise up, Lord, let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And it was the voice of the Lord through the lips of Moses that said, when the ark rested, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." Oh, that the church of Jesus Christ today would hear the word of God and rise up and see the total collapse of the enemies of the gospel and the total victory that Jesus Christ gives. Oft have we seen the tempest rise, the world and Satan, hell and sin, like the mountains, seem to reach the skies with scarce a gleam of hope between. But still as oft as troubles come, our Jesus sends some cheering ray, and that strong arm shall guide us home, which thus protects us by the way. A few more days, or months, or years, in this dark desert to complain. A few more sighs, a few more tears, and we shall bid adieu to pain. As I have said, Israel is a picture of the church in all ages. It is journeying in a foreign and alien atmosphere, an atmosphere that hates the truth of Christ and hates the Prince of Peace. If we are in step with God, we cannot be defeated. We must ever be victorious. The church is ever wandering, but it is never far from home. It is always unhoused, but yet always in palaces. Even when it is afflicted, destitute, tormented, it wears the ephod of the victor. It is deserted, but it is never left alone. It is reduced, but it is always multiplied. It is left and forsaken, but it still abides. It is the body of Christ, and it is as eternal as the eternal Christ whose body it is. Men may try to hem the church in, but it filleth all things. It is all and all. The march of Israel was a victorious march, for the Lord was with them. They were confronted with the Red Sea, but God rolled the sea away. And down in the valley, when the arms of Moses were held up on the mountain, young Joshua won a great and glorious victory. The march of Israel through the wilderness is one of the wonders of the whole Bible. God takes to himself a new name. He is called Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Oh, I have seen the day when with a single word, God helping me to say, my trust is in the Lord. My soul has quelled a thousand foes, fearless of all that would oppose. So all Israel's foes melted before the mighty God of Jacob. This battle shout is a shout that the church needs to use today in its conflict. For the church should be as fresh as the morning, fair as the noon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. When the trumpet of God sounds, its echoes shake the very vaults of hell itself. When the Israel of God unsheathed the old double two-edged sword of truth, then hell's forces are dismayed and conquered. The church's path is the path of the conqueror, for Christ is the greatest of all conquerors. Where the church puts its foot, that place is possessed and becomes the property of the church. Far be for it, the nail-pierced foot of our Lord Jesus Christ has pressed. As it was in the beginning, even so it is now, world without end. Amen. This is the battle shout of the Church of Jesus Christ. What a shout it was from the lips of Wycliffe, who was wrongly called the star of the Reformation, for he was, in fact, the rising sun of the Reformation. When Luther shouted this battle cry of the church, the old blasphemous Rome felt the power of the Lord's earthquake upon her and her works. When John Knox and George Whitefield and millions more took up the cry, then did the enemies of the gospel flee before them. What a challenge we have in this present day. It was C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher of the Victoria era, who said, how firm are the roots of evil, are tightly bound around the very granite of earth's nature are the roots of the great upas tree of iniquity. Who can hope to tear up these roots or cut down this towering cedar? See in one hand where liberty was blustered off, the lie still drips from the gouts of gore. See in another land where there is much advancement in many things, the people are still priest-ridden and borne down under the yoke of idolatry. Look ye at the myriads that have never seen the great light, but who sit in the valley of the shadow of death. Where is the arm? Where is the arm that can put the world back upon its proper pivot? Where is the almighty power that can turn once again the pole so that earth shall stand no more oblique, but in righteousness shall see the throne of God intervening on their behalf? Where is the one who can set this old sin-cursed world right? It is here. It is our business to cry, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. Let them that hate thee flee before thee." This is the prayer that suits the needs of the church. We need God to make bare his arm. We need God to arise for our help. For if God rise not for our help, then we will fail and our work will perish. Luther said, when opposing the Church of Rome, "They are not strong. God can overthrow them with his little finger." God needs to overthrow them. I see in the Roman Catholic newspapers of the past few days, the Archbishop and Cardinal of Scotland has declared that it is the purpose of his church to Catholicize the whole of Scotland and make it a Catholic country and return it to what it was before the days of John Knox. All the foes of the church, with all their battlements behind which they are entrenched, are as nothing when God moves and arises to take the stand of his people as they battle against evil. When he makes bare his arm, what shall his work withstand? When he his people's cause defend, who shall stay God's hand? Let us in life and death boldly the truth declare and publish with our latest breath God's love and guardian care. So much for the war shout. But this text tells us the war story of the great captain of our salvation. The Bible itself is the best commentator on the Bible, and it is the safest and soundest interpreter of the Bible. Do you want the Bible interpreted? Read the Bible. Do you want to know what the Bible is saying? Read the Bible. The Westminster Confession of Faith aptly says the infallible rule of interpretation of Scripture is the Scripture itself. And therefore, when and where there is a question about the true and full sense of any Scripture, which is not manifold but one, it must be searched and shown by other places that speak more clearly. The supreme judge by which all controversies of religion are to be determined, and all decrees of councils, opinions of ancient writers, doctrines of men and private spirits, are to be examined, and at whose sentence we are to rest can be no other but the Holy Spirit Himself speaking in the Word of God. It takes a diamond to cut a diamond. It takes the Holy Scriptures themselves to explain and interpret the Holy Scripture. Now, Psalm 68 explains this great war story of the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2 and 10 tells us it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing in many sons unto glory, to make their captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. Psalm 38 shows clearly that the moving of the ark from the lower place to the city of David was typical of the ascent of Jesus Christ from the grave to heaven. How did the people who followed Christ feel as they saw him suffer? But he could not be perfected. That is, his work could not be completed, his mediatorial work, until he endured the sufferings of the cruel and awful cross. What suffering he endured, from the breaking of his blood in the sweat of dark Gethsemane, until he cried, having finished his work from the cross, "It is finished." It seemed as if hell had triumphed, that it marked the hour of earth's despair and the moment of heaven's defeat. No, perish such a thought. His death was a death blow to all his enemies and all our enemies. As he was crushed in his heel, he was crushing the head of that old serpent that is the devil. If the disciples had believed and not doubted, they would have gathered at the tomb and shouted, "Rise up, Lord! Let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee from thee." But lack of faith kept them doubting. Yes, Christ did rise up. Remember, the stone was not rolled away to let our Lord out. The stone was rolled away to let the believers in, to see that he was already gone. The Lord is risen indeed. He lives to die no more. He lives the sinner's cause to plead, whose curse and shame he bore. The Lord is risen indeed. This yields my soul a plea. He bore the punishment decreed and satisfied for me. Death was scattered. Hell was scattered. Satan himself was scattered. Sin was scattered. Accusations against the elect of God were scattered. The false gods of all the earth were scattered. Yes, that resurrection morn, all evil heard its death knell. While all good heard the celestial marriage bells ring and all the angels worship Christ. But Christ not only rose from the tomb, but he rose from earth to heaven. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Paul in the letter to the Hebrews says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor. For he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We hail thee, O Savior, this day, our God, blessed forever. Finally, there is a war song here for us all. Yes, I being in the way, the Lord leads his dear children along, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through great tribulation, but all through the blood. And I am glad as a church today we can raise this war song. This church is here because of the help of God. It is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We started small, but we were soon on the move. First moved from our old building down the road, becoming too small, to the coal man's mission, while galleries were erected in our old church building. Then when the enlarged church building became too small, we moved to the Ulster Hall for a period of 2 years while this building was erected. Then we had our complex erected. God surely arose to help us in all these moves. Our enemies were many, but God arose for our help. I remember when we went to the northern bank, of all places, to get an overdraft for the building of this house. The manager said, we couldn't give you an overdraft. You have no collateral. You have no rich people. You can't do it. But he says, you are a valuable man. He says, I thank you very much. He said, if you take out an insurance on your life and sign it over to the Northern Bank, and that you, of course, pay the premiums. We pay nothing. We will give you $40,000, but not a penny more. And so I entered into that agreement. I remember when we had the church paid off, I went to see the bank manager, and I said, now hand over the documents. He said, what do you mean? I said, you want to hold on to the insurance policy, but you can't. It is now out. And we will get it. And so this church, when I die, and I have no intention of dying, but when I die, we will get that money back that we paid into that insurance policy. I remember going to the United States of America and preaching across the great nation twice in all the large churches that my old friend Dr. Bob Jones got me into, and coming back with almost £15,000. How the Lord has worked. And our complex cost us $1.25 million. And thank God it is all paid for. Our enemies were many, but God arose for our help. Here we are today rejoicing in the God of our salvation. And we are confident that the best is yet to be, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. We have met Rome face to face, and we have proved with Martin Luther that a farthing candle of divine truth set on fire can destroy the whole prairie of Popeshire. The blessed acts of the Bible is as sharp as it has ever been and as keen as ever. And I will lay it by the grace of God at the roots of every false tree, every false system, and every false doctrine. Though these corrupt trees top the heavens, their roots are in hell, and shall come down, and great shall be the fall thereof. We have faced the evil apostasy, and God has given to us the victory. I want to finish this sermon by crying out, Arise, O God the Father, make bare thy mighty arm, let the elect of God be gathered in their numbers, which no man can number. Rise, O God, the Holy Ghost, kindle thine unquenchable free flame amongst us. We are impotent, useless, and worthless without thee, O flame of God, O dove of peace. Rise up, O God, the Son. Show thy wounds, thy almighty wounds. Supply thy blood, thy precious blood. Save sinners for whom thou didst die upon the cruel cross. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rise up, cleanse us from our sins, scatter our unbelief, wash our heart afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. Let thine enemies be scattered. Let them that hate thee flee before thee. Amen and amen.